We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. We're back yet again. We being, apart from me, John Amos with his partner Frank Muir and Ian Wallace with his partner, for the purposes of the next half hour, Dennis Norton. John, let us get started with a good, bold, strong theme. This is the key it's in. And this is the theme. What is it, John?
It was written by a lad whose father was a horn player.
Yes, it was, actually, now I come to think of it, yes.
And his father wrote a horn concerto too, and he was called Franz, and his son was called Richard.
Yes, and the second name?
Strauss. Yes.
And it was played on that recording again by a lad whose father was a horn player.
Ah, Dennis Brain.
Dennis Brain, yes. Mark to you.
Dennis Brain.
Richard Strauss. So which horn concerto did you say it was? Which number?
I didn't.
Ah.
But I will. It's number one.
Number one, yes. The first of two, Opus 11. Frank.
Yeah.
See if you can identify this popular singer.
To see you go. Goodbye, Charlie. Gee, I'm feeling low. But I'm cluing you in. Someone's doing you in, pal.
Typical American cabaret artist.
Yes, a real Las Vegas
act. Glass figures.
Mm, yeah,
and then right. On she comes.
Yeah.
I haven't the faintest idea.
Well, I can give you a clue. She may have been named after an English queen, possibly.
I can't think of any. Victoria.
Try Vicky.
Vicky Carr.
Yes, well, why don't we give him half a mark, I think, for that. Vicky Carr, yes. The song was composed by someone you might not expect. Andre Previn.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Ian Wallace, a favourite overture, not necessarily a favourite of yours, and certainly not a favourite of mine, but a favourite overture nonetheless. What is it?
But it is actually a favourite overture of mine.
Well, good.
The unfavourite thing is I can never pronounce its title.
Ah, yes,
I always go
yes.
So semi-nominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominominomin or semiramide is probably the easiest way. But it is a favourite because of a story attached to it during the war with about this orchestra that hadn't got a bassoon player, and they used a harmonium instead of a bassoon. When the strings played, ta-dee-ta-dee-ta, and the conductor looks at this chap who's playing the harmonium, who's, you know, doing his pedals up and down, and instead of that beautiful bomb, bomb coming out, all that comes out is...
It's a real harmonium. Anybody who's ever played a harmonium knows that noise.
I once saw Semiramide at La Scala Milan. Joan Sutherland was in the main part. And it went on and on. The intervals got longer and longer. And it finally finished about 25 past one. And the friend I was with said, well, gosh, if that was a Semiramide, how long would have a whole Ramide?
Dennis, the piece you're going to hear by Beethoven was called Leonora No. 3, which is a rather curious title, is it not? Why did he call it that, I wonder? Leonora No. 3. Dennis.
Well, before I got the right answer, I had sort of, I think the American word is intuited, the sort of creative process that having finished, it was obviously written for this girl, Leonora, and he'd gone in touch with her and said, I've got this great number, we finished it, and can I come round and play it? And she said, well, not tonight, because I'm washing my hair. So he said, well, look, I'll take it round, I'll give it to the porter in your apartment block, and he can take it up to you. So he said, all right. He said, what's the number of your flat again? So he told her. So he wrote that on the top of the plan. And, of course, delivered it to the porter, ever since, people have thought it was something to do with the tomb. Of course, it was the flat number.
Of course it was.
Ian
spoke holding both. Never mind, yes. Beethoven's third attempt at an overture of that name, actually, a rescoring of Leonora number two. Talking of great symphonists, as we were, Beethoven, we move on to round two. John, still on the subject of symphonic music, we talk about the unfinished symphony, as if Schubert were the only man to leave a symphony incomplete. John Amis, who else has left an unfinished?
Oh, did you?
Yes.
An unfinished symphony?
Yes,
a symphony in D-flat minor. Very rare key.
Difficult.
But you want somebody more famous?
Well, yes, please.
Well, there's Borodin.
Yes.
And there's Schubert, and there's Mahler.
Yes, the Mahler one was finished, interestingly, wasn't it,
by the late lamented Derek Cook.
Yes, a very fine job. Mm. Thank you. Yes, that's right. You get your mark. Frank, this is a slightly technical question. Where would
feel no pain.
Feel no pain, right. I'll ask you then, straight out, where would you find fixed dough?
Ah, well, if you're making a sort of flat pastry like scones, you pound the stuff up and put the yeast in, and then you have to take it round to a vet who puts it in the fridge and kills the yeast.
Yes,
and that's called fixed dough.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
You'd also find it in the tonic sulfur system, John.
Oh, very likely.
Yes.
Or you'd also find it in a piece by Percy Grainger called The Immovable Dough.
Immovable Dough, yes, in which there's a note that just goes right through, doesn't it? The whole thing is a sort of, there's a pedal note, really. Yeah. Why not a mark? Ian, history, musical history. What did Napoleon open in September 1973?
I should think probably a Christmas card
yes.
That had got stuck in a cupboard in the sorting office in St. Helena. Or maybe a boutique.
Yes, a boutique would be nice. Actually, a
gear for the bony.
It was a building. A building that I know that John has visited. Do you happen to know what it was?
It's a
slightly obscure question.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Napoleon being a character in an opera by Prokofiev, which opened a certain building in September 1973.
The Sydney Opera House.
Yes, that's right. I helped you a bit, but it's a difficult question. Why don't we give you a mark? Yes, the Sydney Opera House, Prokofiev's War and Peace, Napoleon being a character.
Can you bear in mind the silhouette of the Sydney Opera House? Because among Sydney cab drivers, it's known as the Nun Scrum.
Oh, charming, yes. Nice. Yeah. Actually, the building opened was the opera theatre of the Sydney Opera House. Mm. Dennis, popular music history, three songs. What have they in common? Chansonnette, Looking for Another Sweetie, and Smile and Show Your Dimple.
Two of them, Michael. Chansonnette was retitled The Donkey's Serenade,
yes.
or had a lyric added and called The Donkey's Serenade. Smile and Show Your Dimple was the original lyric for In Your Easter
yes,
Bonnet.
Smile and Show Your Dimple, it's really
but
very
I
simple.
Don't know the other one.
Well, Looking for Another Sweetie was the song that began our play for you.
I'm confessing that I love
again,
you, really?
Confessing,
I didn't know that
looking
one.
Looking for Another Sweetie, yes. You got the answer, though, that they had the same thing in common. They changed their lyrics as the years went by, so to speak. It's medley time, so pens, ink and paper, please. You try to name the six tunes in your team's medley. Of course, if you want to try listening at home and getting the answers, please do. Medley one, number one, then, for John and Frank. ¶¶ And how did you get on?
Holding his paper.
Brain-racking face there, yes. The first one, somebody.
Buttons and bows.
Yes, that's right. Buttons and bows.
Just like the ivy.
Yes.
In the mood.
Oh, what, look at this. Look at. Listen to this. Listen to this. Yes, go
on. It quivers a bit now.
Yeah.
Just keep... Along. Oh, no morning, with a moment. Lord, sweet song. Get up. Get up. Get out of bed.
We have to bring back the penalty for singing, I think. You don't know. It's when the red, red robin comes.
The very
bobbing along. The very chap. The very furry fellow, feathered fellow, yes. Two more.
I don't know who's who. Married to a fellow of 6 foot four. Four foot two. Living together for...
Everything except the first line.
It's a great big shame.
It's a great big shame.
It's a great big shame.
And the last one.
I didn't hear that.
Da da dee da da dee dee dee. When you come back again, we don't want to lose you, but we think
alone. I did it.
Did you get that?
No, I didn't get any of them.
Oh. Well, alone you didn't do it then. Four out of six. Four out of six.
That. My dart doesn't even fly.
And now a medley now for Ian and Dennis. And Ian, did you get the first one?
Yeah. Eluce van le Stelle from Tosca.
Thank you, yes. Then perhaps Dennis, the next one.
My Funny Valentine from Frank Sinatra.
Yes. And?
Oh, Johnny.
Yes. Then three more.
I came from Dixie.
Yes, Dixie, that's right.
Then you're on your own, Dennis.
You beautiful doll.
Yes, oh, you beautiful doll, that's right. And finally, Ian, perhaps?
No.
I thought it was Your Eyes Are the Eyes of a Woman in Love.
It's the... I played...
Yeah.
It's the one that begins... you know it, John. Do you? Arthur Benjamin did the arrangement. Linstead Market. Carry me, I can go Linstead Market. Not a quote. He would sell five out of six. Fair enough. On to the next round, and the answer in this next round lies in the words of a song. Two marks for the correct answer, but there's a one-mark penalty for singing instead of saying the answer. So, John Amos, a verbal answer, please. I'm at the kitchen door. Who am I waiting for?
Katie.
Yes. Katie. Yes. Two marks to you because you didn't sing it. Frank, why am I off to Louisiana?
For... to see my Susie Anna.
Indeed, I am. Two to you. It's an easy two marks this round, isn't it? Ian, where was the Bechstein Grand before it was pawned?
Oh, yes, along with the Van Dykes in the stately homes
of England. Yes, Noel Coward's song. And Dennis, how much does a hot cross bun cost?
One a penny, two a penny.
One a penny, two a penny. Hot cross buns, yes. Two marks to you.
An evasive answer, I think.
Talking of children's songs, I've been looking forward to telling you that last Christmas, my little nephew, Danny, was heard singing half to himself, Half the Herald Angels. In these days of inflation, rather than... Some slight musical curiosities coming up. John, this, as you'll be able to tell from its surface, is an old record I found, an old 78. What's it all about? Can you explain what we hear? Listen.
John.
Well, you know, I've got a more up-to-date record than that. Without the hiss.
A record company brought out two LPs of tenor arias, one of lyric arias and one of dramatic arias. And that was one of them, ones I used to have a bash at sometimes. I put the record on. The only trouble is when you come to the cadenzas, because the conductor on the record never gives you enough time. And you're just...
The aria being... It was a very, very early example of the accompaniment record by the Berlin State Opera Orchestra with the tenor part missing, as you say, Mark Tune.
There used to be whole chamber music works called Adda Part. You could play Mozart quintets or Dvorak piano quintets.
Say no more or you might spoil the whole of the rest of the round.
If you had no friends.
Frank, there's nothing strictly missing here, or rather this is how the arranger intended it to sound, but you may well feel as I do that there's something missing. Yes, Frank, it's...
La, 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 la.
Yes. They have a much easier time of it down in the pit.
Well, no, it's a very curious thing. It's Shchedrin, a Russian Soviet composer called Shchedrin, who did an arrangement of Carmen themes for a Bolshoi ballet, and that is how the theme actually appears in the full orchestral version. We usually hear it, of course, more like this. And on to Ian Wallace. Ian, what is missing here? What's missing?
Oh, yes. There should be a sort of... what I could only describe as a tiddle-liddle-liddle-liddle-liddle-liddle-liddle-liddle-liddle going on.
You couldn't only describe it. You could describe it as a trill as well.
Yes, I suppose so, yes.
No, yeah. There's the violin soloist E trill after the cadenza in the last movement of...
Beethoven's violin concerto.
Violin concerto, yes, that's right.
The rather nice story told me by Gareth Morris the other day when he was in the RAF Symphony Orchestra. They had a wing commander who rather liked conducting what he called symphony music. And one day they got the parts of the Beethoven violin concerto, and they started off with the famous chimp solo, dom, 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 dee-da. He stopped and said, hey, what's going on? What's that thing at the beginning? He said, well, I've got these four beats on the drum. He said, oh, we don't need anybody to give us the rhythm. Start, cut.
Gross calumny.
It is actually true.
Well,
because when Gareth, who's a famous flute player, was doing the Polonaise from the B minor suite of Bach, it's one of the old style Polonaises, very slow dance. And the wing commander took it at a tremendous lick. And he said, well, why aren't you playing, flute boy? Why aren't you playing? He said, well, I'm sorry, sir, I can't play it as fast as that. He said, rubbish. Polonaise, dum da dum da da dum da dum sort of thing. What? He was a famous wing commander, a marvellous man, but he did make a few boo-boos.
Well, a great musical family, too, of course. Mm-hmm. Dennis, yours is rather different, not this accompaniment business.
Good.
It isn't just an accompaniment. It is, in fact, a full vocal performance. The question to you is simply, who is the singer?
Mrs. Love, but a good big is weekend. And her weekends are not a success. When she asks you so often, you finally soften and end by answering yes.
Do you know?
Well, I only know because... I have had an occasion on kind of nostalgia program to make use of this record.
Yes.
It's the composer singing. Actually, it's Cole Porter singing Thank You So Much, Mrs. Lowsborough Goodby, which he never wrote for publication. That and Miss Otis Regrets were only things that he did at parties. They weren't done for shows. And he was persuaded to publish them later.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah. On the label of that old record, it says, in the fashion of old records, Cole Porter, baritone with piano. Was Cole Porter actually singing, as you said. And we come to our singing round, the party piece. John, after the film Barry Lyndon came out, you once said to me what a lovely Schubert melody it was that they used throughout that film, the one with the memorable opus number. You remember the opus number?
Yes. Oh, opus number.
Yes, opus number.
100?
Yes, 100, give or take. Give or take 100, yes, 100. I'll play a bit. Mind us how it goes.
All right.
Very sweet, wasn't it?
What was so remarkable about that was that the film was actually cut to the music in several places, particularly when they were doing that Schubert trio. Quite remarkable, very unusual, wouldn't you say, Dennis?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people remarked on it, yeah.
Frank, as Schubert was heard to remark after he'd composed that lovely tune, up with the sail of it, down with the pail of it, he was referring to beer, glorious beer. Can you oblige us with that?
let's have a bit of accompaniment.
Oh, right.
Do you reckon, sir?
What do you
reckon?
Well, Keith, you've got.
A beer, glorious beer. Fill yourself right up to here. Drink a good deal of it. Make a good meal of it. Stick to your old-fashioned beer. Don't be afraid of it. Drink till you're made of it. Now all together, a cheer, hooray. Up with the sail of it. Down with the pail of it. Glorious, glorious beer.
Dennis, there are quite a few songs about home, sweet home, in addition to the one that's called Home, Sweet Home. Give us one that begins any place. Any place.
Well, any place. I don't know one that begins any place, but I know one that ends any
place.
Well,
yes, I meant the title, really, yes.
Any place where I'm... Yes, any place I hang my hat is home, which I'm not very good on. I'm also even worse on... A song called Any Place Where I Make Money Is Home Sweet Home to Me. I know the middle bit of that is about this commercial traveller who's at home at all the places. I've lived in towns where the lights are bright and they never think it's late, and in burgs where they roll up the sidewalks every night at 8:30. There are many things you can overlook as long as you fatten up your order book, because any place that I make money is home sweet home to me. That was absolutely in tune and on key. Did you notice?
Which key? I wasn't able to say.
No, it was, yeah.
Yeah, a sort of...
I don't know where you dig these songs out. Have you got a spiritualist you go to?
A very elderly, mean spiritualist who sets your questions. Ian, I'll give you a lead in on the piano and I think we might perhaps have the audience in for a repeat chorus. So.
May you be forgiven.
A garden for me,
If you're no a Gordon, you're no use to me. The black watch are braw, the seaforths and all, but the cocky wee Gordon's the pride of them all. A Gordon for me, a Gordon for me. If you're no a Gordon, you're no use to me. The black watch are braw, the seaforths and all, but the cocky wee Gordon, the pride of them all.
Oh, no, no time.
After that, round.
After that frankly nationalistic excursion, it only remains for me to tell you that this week we have a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.